First Sunday of 2020. So we're going to probably do a little review for you this morning. For those of you who have been regular part of Real Life Chapel and been here for several years, you're not going to probably hear anything new this morning. You're going to hear stuff that you've heard before, right? So some of you are going to probably like start checking out. Don't do it. You probably need to hear it again, right? And if you're new, this will be hopefully new to you. Anyway, you know, we're going to begin this morning with a startling statistic, right? Put it on the front of your program. Just want to share. Just want to just kind of start off and let's think about this for a second. Statistics tell us that a typical believer will die without leading a single person to a life-saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That should really grab our attention to think about that. And then without it just simply being this statistic out here that goes, wow, I can't believe that, we should then turn that statistic and go, am I a part of that? It's not talking about anybody else, it's talking about me. Statistics tell us that a typical believer will die without leading a single person to a life-saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So here is your opportunity, this is your chance, 2020, starting a new year. You can make sure that that stat is not you. You have that chance and that opportunity. So, with saying that and starting off with that, I want to review one of our core values, right? Core values of discipleship and relationship and worship. These are three things that are really important that we hold dear here at Real Life Chapel. And so this morning, I want to spend a little time covering our core value of discipleship. But this is not just our core value, right? Real Life Chapel doesn't have a corner on the market when it comes to discipleship. This is the very mission of the church. Right? So when it's amazing, you know, when everybody tries to figure out all these things, especially in our day and age, you know, you'll have all kinds of pastoral teams and leadership boards, and they'll convene and people will get in a room and try to hash through and sort out and figure out how can we cleverly, creatively state the mission of the church. What? It's really simple. The mission of the church is in God's word. It was very clear. Here it is, the mission of the church. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this. Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, that means because of everything that was just said, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We don't have to figure out what the mission of the church is. We don't have to somehow creatively, cleverly come up with a way of packaging it. It's right there. It's stated right there. The mission of the church is to go and make disciples. It's right there, right? So it's interesting because Jesus comes in and he says, I've been given all authority. And I love the fact that he starts with that. Right? Because he's looking at these guys. These are going to be one of the most important things, some of his parting words that he's going to send them. He's going to issue them a command. But the first thing he says, hey, just so you know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Right? So you don't need to go check with somebody else. You don't need to wait to see if it's confirmed. Right? I have all authority. This is the final word. So literally, the word, the living word, Jesus Christ himself is going to give the word, the command, and he shows up in the word, the scripture. This is the command. This is the mission of the church. I'm telling you, you ain't got to ask nobody. Go and make disciples of all nations. Right? Teach them to obey. Obey what? The command to go and make disciples. So not only are we to go and make disciples, we're supposed to be teaching others to go and make disciples. It just kind of goes like this. What's the mission of the church? Go and make disciples. What are they supposed to do? Teach people to go and make disciples. And we can come up with all kinds of other things and a whole bunch of other stuff, but you boil it down and that's what it's about. Go make disciples. And here's the greatest thing. Then he gives us this encouragement right at the end. Right? Let you know, you ain't got to check with nobody else. I'm the authority. Here's the mission. Go and make disciples. Oh, and by the way, be encouraged, because guess what? You never have to do this alone. You never have to do this alone. I'm going to be with you. I mean, that in and of itself, because how many of us will sit there, as I read that statistic right at the beginning, right? Some of you, of course, you wanted to think about all those people, but not put yourself in that stat. And then the few of you that actually have self, you know, understanding and go, yeah, that's, I'm that stat. And then you tried to rationalize it real quick. Yeah, but see, I'm an introvert. Right? Well, and I don't have a lot of verses memorized. I'm not sure what to say. I mean, right, then we start the word because we're going to rationalize all the reasons why, you know, that's, you know, I'm not responsible. Well, you have no excuses, right? No excuse is acceptable. Because he's already said, you ain't got to do it alone, I'm with you. You don't need Pastor Frank by you, you don't need somebody else by you, you don't need to have the right words, you don't have to have this and that. I'm with you. That's what he said. So we're all sitting here with that excuse. Aren't you excited? 2020 starting. You got an opportunity to say, no more, I'm done making up excuses, and I'm going to actually do what Jesus said to do. Is that my bass guitar? Sorry, I squirreled on you. I hear a hum. See, you all didn't hear that. I heard it. I knew what was going on. It was vibrating. Sorry. That's right. Anyway, sorry about it. I'll come back. Every now and then I squirrel too, so, right? So here's the thing that you need to know from this, because I think too often we hear this verse, somebody shared this verse with us, and we think, oh yeah, that's that verse that applies to Pastor Frank. That's his job. You know, that's why Jesus put that in there for him. And, you know, the guys, if they're leaders in the church, that's what they do. No. This command is for every single believer. If you are here and you have placed your trust in Christ, you profess faith in Christ, you are not off the hook. This is your command. This is your job. It is for you to go and make disciples. Wherever you live, wherever you work, that's your job. It's not mine. It's all of us, every single believer. So let's talk about this disciple thing. I'm going to share again some tools that we use here. The definition. So, you know, what is a disciple? And if we ask that, you know, a whole bunch of people will come up with a bunch of different things. And they may be very true. But just, you know, for simplicity's sake, we have a way of defining that here. So what is a disciple? And Jesus, again, it's amazing. You really don't have to look very far to find the answers to this stuff. It's in the scripture, right? So Jesus says in Matthew 4:19, you guys know the story, right? The brothers are fishing. Jesus is walking down the beach, right? And then he's going to call them to follow him, to challenge him. And he says this, Matthew 4, verse 19, he says, Jesus called to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Some of you are used to hearing it traditionally, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men, right? Well, we believe here that the definition of a disciple is right in that invitation, right? Three things. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So we believe this, that a disciple is somebody who is, A, following Jesus, right? Because he said, come follow me. So a disciple is someone who's following Jesus. And then he says, I will make right? Because he's going to have to do a work. When Jesus finds you and you respond to him finding you, he has a lot of work to do. You know, Jesus absolutely accepts you where you're at, but by no means does he want to leave you like that because you're screwed up. That's all of us, right? When he finds you, he goes, boy, I love them, but man, they are messed up. I got a lot of work. And Jesus starts rolling up his sleeve. I got a lot of work to do. And some of us, he's been working on a whole long time, real long time, still working. Not finished yet, right? So a disciple is somebody who's following Jesus. A disciple is somebody, I will make you, is being changed by Jesus. And he says, I will show you how to fish for people. I'll make you fishers of men. And then a disciple is someone who is on mission with Jesus. Right? So it's three things. A disciple, following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and on mission with Jesus. We're joining him in the mission. What's the mission? Ding, 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 ding. Go and make disciples. Simple stuff. Good stuff. All right, so as we go through this, want to talk about the discipleship. We use a tool. You see this wheel up here, but I want to get a little bit closer on the center of this because this is just a tool to help identify some things. So if you go to that next slide, back up, there should be one. Let's see. Should be, there's what I want. Thank you. So here you go. So this is a closer look at the center of this wheel, and it's got stages. You can kind of see these stages around this center wheel, because here's the truth of the matter, folks. When it comes to this idea of being a disciple of Jesus, as you and I growing and being discipled and growing in this relationship, just like you and I grow up biologically, we go through stages and we grow, we absolutely do the same thing spiritually. We go through various stages, and so I want to talk about those. Right, so we've got the stage of spiritually dead, spiritual infant, spiritual child, spiritual young adult, spiritual parent. This is just the growth that we go through. Somebody who's spiritually dead, right? Somebody who's spiritually dead is somebody who either there's an active side of that and a passive side of that, right? Somebody who's spiritually dead is someone who is not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. They've not been born again, so prior to that, they're spiritually dead. Now, passively, that may just be the simple fact that they have no belief. They've never placed their faith or their trust in Christ. Maybe no one's ever shared that with them, right? But it still renders them spiritually dead. Then there are those that know about it. They know about the Jesus thing, right? Maybe they've heard about it. They didn't like some of the things they heard. Well, I'm not going to have somebody telling me how to live my life. I'm going to live my life my way. Right? I'm not surrendering my life, you know, that kind of talk or those kind of thoughts or those feelings, you know. And so then it's not such a passive but an active spiritual dead because they're in rebellion. Don't tell me about that God stuff. I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that. I'm not doing that. I'm doing my own thing, right? So either way, somebody is in a spiritual dead condition. But somewhere along the line, we hope that somebody has shared the gospel with them and they come to a moment of faith, and then they're born again, and then they begin their walk. And when somebody's born again, whether they're 25, 55, or 75, guess what? They're a spiritual infant. Because it's not about how much you know. You could be 60 years old with a PhD and be the CEO of a 500 Fortune business. And guess what? Day one is day one of your spiritual walk. You're a spiritual infant. So what is a spiritual infant characterized by? Ignorance. Right, I know that's harsh. You're like, oh, that's not nice. Right? True and nice don't always go together. I don't know if you knew that, but, right? It's the fact of the matter. A spiritual person is ignorant. I didn't say they were stupid. That's not the same thing. Totally different. They're ignorant. They don't know what they don't know. Right? And they're going to find out that as they learn stuff, the more they learn, the more they realize what they don't know. It's just part of it. So a spiritual infant is a person, they just, ignorance is what characterizes them. They don't understand. They don't know. Right? They'll say things like this. And you've never said anything like this. I know that. Right? Well, my ministry is my work. I mean, I provide for my family. I ain't got time for church. Wow, there is a leaky diaper right there. You've never said that, though, so don't worry. Yeah, I ain't got time for church, you know. People have hurt me. Welcome to the club. The church is comprised of people. The last I checked, people are pretty messed up, right? I mean, we're all broken. We're all struggling. We have different things we're working through or walking through. So if you stay in a group of people long enough, somebody, you know what? Yep, you're probably going to get your feelings hurt. God, my feelings hurt a lot. I've hurt feelings a lot. That's probably shocking. I know right there you were just like, what? But people say, oh, people hurt me, so it's just me and God. And I'm not doing the church thing. I don't like organized religion. I love it when people do that. What a facade to hide behind, you coward. That's all that is. Okay. I don't want a church full of hypocrites. Yeah? Absolutely. Last I checked, any place a human being is full of hypocrites. Because consistency is not like our number one trait. I don't care who you are. We can take any single individual in here, however holy you might be. And I guarantee if we examine long enough, we will find an inconsistency in the way you walk, right? I mean, it's just craziness. Anyway, so then, and that's where somebody is at. It's not necessarily a long stage, but everybody goes through it. There's no way to bypass that. You don't bypass these things. Some people like to think that they do. Well, I grew up in church, so I got saved. Now I'm instantly mature. Right. Right. But it's not a long trait. Then you move from infant into child stage, just like you and I grow, right? We don't stay babies forever. I mean, sooner or later, we become a child. And children, now we'll tell you this, children, that's a longer span. It's a longer span biologically, right? Infant's not so long. Child's a lot longer. I want to tell you spiritually, that's the longest. There are people that stay in spiritual child stage 20, 30, 40 years, especially churched people. This is where you'll find the vast majority of church people are right here, spiritual child. Because a spiritual child is characterized by selfishness, self-centeredness, right? That feels good, doesn't it? Spiritual child. Man, I've met people that have sat in church for 20, 30 years. Been in more Bible studies. Good grief. Right? Some of them, I wish they'd quit going to Bible studies. It's like, dude, what are you going to do? You've been studying the Bible 20 years, ain't done jack with it. Please stop. Right? Go do something. Well, but that, I mean, that makes me a Christian because I go to Bible studies. Really? Wow. Spiritual children is kind of self-centered. You know what I mean? You know how kids are, right? I mean, child doesn't get his way. And they cry and they pout and they get upset. Right? But you guys don't act like that. I'm talking about other churches. Ain't nobody in here. That's right. Ain't nobody here fitting that. I mean, because they'll do things like this. They'll say things like this. I'm not being fed in my church, so I'm going to go to a church that meets my needs better. Oh, wow. You never heard that. I mean, you know, we are in Talbot County, right? This is like, got to be one of the most church-hopping counties I've ever lived in my life. I'm going here till he pisses me off. Then I'm going to go over here to this person. Right? Oh, did I shock somebody? Oh, you can say it and think it, but I can't say it. Oh, I see how that works. right? I'm going to go here for a little while, like that, going over here. Yeah, oh, wait a minute, he got my backyard, now I'm going over here. Right, I'm just not going to go at all, because somebody hurt my feelings. Right? But it's not just that. Oh, here's one. Nobody here has ever said this, though. I didn't like the music today. If only they did it like whatever this is. Oh, here's one. These are the children that would not identify themselves as children. I love my small group. Let's not add any more people to it. Wow. Okay, I'm going to move on from that. Anyway, and then, we stayed there a long time, but eventually, we hope, eventually something can happen, right? And there can be a spiritual event that takes place after, they get a revelation. And the Holy Spirit does a work in them, and there's this, not subtle, it might subtly happen, but it becomes pretty obvious when there's a shift. And all of a sudden, a person becomes a spiritual young adult. It's kind of spiritual puberty, right? They go through spiritual puberty, and all of a sudden, their voice changes. Right? They start saying different things. All of a sudden, it's not about them anymore. They become others-centered, God-centered, right? They do crazy things like this. They'll be like, well, I love my group, but there are others who need a group just like this. Can we invite some more people into this? Wow, that's crazy talk, right? Look how many people are at church today. It's awesome. I had to walk from the other end of the parking lot. I'm so excited. Right? Not somebody's in my seat. You ain't got no seat. If you want to buy some, I accept. But until then, huh? Right. We can work on that. We'll call it that. Right? We call it whatever you want to if you want to buy the chairs, but until you bought a chair, ain't none of them yours. Yeah, that, and they took my parking spot. Can't believe that. Somebody park where we always park. Wow. But see, a young adult, again, it becomes a shift as a maturing starts to happen. They start worrying and caring about other people. You know what they do? Spiritual young adults, actually, when we have the greet time, spiritual young adults look for the people who are new and actually go pursue them. The people that are still in diapers, they talk to the same people every single Sunday, sit in the same seat every single Sunday, and expect everybody to come to them because you're the center of the universe and it's all about you. That hits a vast majority in this room. You can't see, you don't think I can see from up here? You don't think I'm watching? You must be crazy. I'm just being gracious because I don't use names. I might do that in the next couple of weeks just to have some fun, right? That'd be fulfilling for me. Oh, then I'd be spiritual childlike because that would be self-centered. I won't do that. So eventually, as we begin to mature, we head toward the parent stage. Now, we don't move from young adult to adult because then some people would kind of think that means they arrived. I'm now a spiritual adult. I'm finished. Right? We're never finished. That's not what it's about. It's about parenthood because parenting is about reproducing, right? So when we grow to maturity, we grow to a parent, and a parent is somebody, again, that's characterized by intentionality. They're starting to look at things now, and they're trying to think strategically. How can I share my faith? Where can I share my faith? They're entering into relationships intentionally. How has God put this person in my path, put this person in my life? How is there a way that I can share what I'm learning and growing and finding out? How can I share that with them? Right? And they're pouring into another person's life. Spiritual parenting. Right? They do like crazy stuff like, we're going to take our whole group or we're going to go on a mission trip and serve other people. They're going to come up to me and say, Pastor, I got another idea, something you should do. No, they don't do that. That's the people back in the diapers. Right? People wearing diapers got all kinds of ideas of what I can do. I got ideas. I don't need none of yours. Right? Keep them to yourself. If you got an idea, I'd like to hear it. But I also want you to tell me how you're going to do it. Right? Because if you don't have a plan on how you're going to do it, I don't really care about your idea. Now, parents. Parents are going to say stuff like, man, Pastor Frank, can you help me out? There's a guy I want to share my faith with at work. There's a guy that asked me to explain the Bible to him. Got a couple of questions for you on that. Ooh, that's a whole different conversation. Now they're not only thinking about somebody other than themselves, they're actually engaging with somebody else. Now, I'm just going to be, just to be fair, to be honest, because, you know, you think I'm being mean. We have to identify where we're at on here. Our discipleship training, that's what we're doing, is we're helping people identify where they're at, and so that they can begin to recognize where others are at too. You know, don't judge me. I love that. That's another big hide behind, right? It's not about judgmentalism, it's about observation, right? So you have to be able to be honest and honestly assess where you're at. And so, you know, I tell groups all the time, and I haven't really moved much, so I know they're going to start praying for me more, but when I tell them, if I had to circle a spot where I'm at on this wheel, I put myself right on that line, that horizontal line between young adult and parent. That's where I find myself, right? I mean, I'm serving, doing God-centered and other-centered service, and I am intentional, but I don't put myself all the way up in there because I still have... I still have some of these moments. I don't know if you have moments. I have moments, right? I still have a couple moments. And so I'm going to say I'm right there, but maybe not all the way there because every now and then, you know, somebody does something stupid and I don't react well, right? Pray for me. All right, so then moving on. I want to take a look at Acts 2, verse 42. We're going to take a look a little bit more of this wheel, but talking about the disciples, it says this in Acts. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. So they weren't talking about the Lord's Supper when they said it, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. So these are the things that disciples are going to be involved in, right? Teaching and fellowship and sharing in meals. That's probably going to come up again. I will give you a hint on that. Including the Lord's Supper and a prayer, right? So we're getting a big thing, and that's one of the things that we believe here, is that discipleship best happens in relationship. And that's why that's a core value for us. If you think just coming here on Sundays and sitting in one of these blue chairs on a Sunday morning is discipleship, I want to let you know, it is not. This is not discipleship, right? I hope that you always receive valid teaching and are inspired by God's word here on Sunday mornings, but this is not discipleship. Discipleship happens in relationship. Right? When you can get in a room with a handful of people and you can begin doing life together and you can begin to share openly and honestly about what's going on, right? But it's not just a gripe session. There's a lot of diaper-filled rooms that are gripe sessions. But it's getting together with people with a purpose. And the purpose is to grow in the Lord and to grow deeper in understanding through studying His Word, right? But doing it honestly with one another. That's when discipleship happens. So, in discipleship, requiring relationships. So we talk about in our training about the intentional leader, the relational environment, and a reproducible process that it takes those to take that journey. To walk that path of discipleship, there's got to be somebody that's an intentional leader. Somebody that's saying, hey, we need to meet. I need to gather these people. There are people in my life I have a relationship with. Let's gather and let's learn more about God's Word, right? And it has to be a relational environment. What's a relational environment? A relational environment is where people can be honest, where it can be safe, right? It's tough to be discipled if you're sitting in a room where you don't trust nobody, right? I mean, if you can't get discipled in that environment. So it does require to be able to gather people that you can trust. And I know that that's not easy. There's some people sitting in here going, right? Hey, I'm going to tell you, I don't trust nobody. So you ain't got nothing on me in that department, right? And I'm not proud of that. I'm just being honest. You know, my assessment of everybody is usually bad initially until they prove me otherwise. Right? Yeah, they're screwed up. I just ain't seen it yet. Give them time. They'll show me. Right? I'm not saying that's right. I'm admitting that's wrong. But I'm being honest about it. Right? I wish I had. There are other people I love. There are folks that just, everybody they see is just absolutely amazing and wonderful, you know? I don't have that, right? I've got like different wiring than that, you know? Mine's like, Hey, Pastor, I want to help. Okay. Do a background change. Right? So I didn't have to do that, but I do. And I do. Just let you know. Anyway, reproducible process. It needs to be a reproducible process, right? That's been the biggest missing component. Look, growing up in church, even participating and being involved in ministry, the biggest missing piece when it comes to discipleship. People throw that word around, discipleship. Oh, they'll even try to define this and that. But there's always a reproducible process that's missing. They don't know how to do it. I know what it is supposed to kind of be like, but what does that look like, right? So we have a reproducible process that we employ here. So if we'll go back, we're going to kind of walk around this wheel for a second. It's called Share, Connect, Minister, and Disciple. So this next piece on the wheel, I want to start with the share piece. So I'm going to look at this in corners. So how do you disciple somebody? What's the process? What are components of it? And I mean, there's a lot more detail I can get into, but in a broad spectrum, you know, the first piece of that is you and I. How do we help somebody or how do we walk somebody? We share, right? Share what? Your life, your food, your time, right? But those who are spiritually dead, the greatest the greatest thing they need from you is for you to share the gospel with them. Oh, and I get it. Everybody wants to quote Francis of Assisi. Big excuse again, hide behind facade, right? Well, and then, you know, use words only if necessary. You know. Now, if your life is that incredibly exemplary, completely consistent, that you just glow Jesus everywhere you walk, then that'll work for you. I don't see nobody in here like that, but I'm just saying, I was looking for the glow. I didn't see no glow. Right? I'm just saying, you have to use words. You have to share the gospel with somebody. You know, well, I walk in front of them every day, and I know they're just going to get it. Really? That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, how are they going to know unless somebody tells them? Right? You need to share the gospel with them. What's the gospel? Man, it's that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the only way to heaven. There is no other way. He's already completed the work, done everything that needs to be done. You and I just need to simply accept that that is who he is and place our trust in him. It's not like crazy, crazy difficult. It's simple, not necessarily easy, because we don't trust nobody. I get it, right? I get it. So it's difficult sometimes. But that's what we need to do. We need to share the gospel with those that are dead. And hopefully, when we have that opportunity, then we won't be that stat. We'll actually share the gospel and lead somebody to Jesus Christ, a life-saving relationship with them. They'll become born again. So then what do we need to share? We need to share our life. Oh, no. Go back. Got ahead of me. There we go. We're going to stay here for a while. Then after they're born again, they become a spiritual infant. Spiritual infants, what do they need? You know what? Like any infant, right? You can't sit there and be a parent, get a new baby, and go, oh, let me put them over here in the high chair. I think they're hungry. Here you go. Have that. And then I'm going to sit down here and watch television. Right? It don't work like that, does it? Those of you who have infants, you kind of got to go over there. You got to do something. They need somebody helping them one-on-one. They need somebody. It's no different with a spiritual infant. Spiritual infant needs somebody one-on-one in relationship, walking with them and kind of handing them and feeding them things along the way. You share what? You share new truth. The entire Bible's new truth. They don't know what they don't know. Everything you share with them is going to be new. What? That's wrong. That's right. I should be thinking about that. Right? It's a whole new thing. And then new habits. Right? Jesus changes us. Right? Anybody, if you've been walking with Christ, somebody says, well, I've been walking with Jesus for 25 years. I hope, if that is true, that if I knew you 25 years ago, you are not the same as I knew you 25 years ago. Because if you are, I'm going to have to call you a liar. Because you can't walk without in Christ. You can't follow Christ without him changing you. Now, some are slower than others, right? I'm a slow change. You know? Some people change, man, rapidly. You know? Some people are more resistant. Like, I'm more resistant, you know? No, you ain't the boss of me. You know, that kind of stuff, right? You have those kind of feelings, right? And Jesus has to say, oh yeah, I am. Okay. Well, maybe you are, but, you know, I don't like it. Right? So we share these things. That's how we do when we're discipling infants, and then they move into the childlike state, and we go to the connect piece. So when somebody reaches this, it's not that they don't need a one-on-one, but now there's something more important than just the one-on-one. They need to connect to a group dynamic and relationship, right? And begin to understand how to successfully navigate relationships with other folks and be able to hear different thought processes, right? Well, I don't need anybody like that. It's just me alone and God, right? Well, that's great, but what if you're crazy? You need some other believers to go, I don't think that's right. Right? We need to have sounding board. We need to be able to bounce things off of each other and seek truth together. It helps us in our growth, right? Because when I'm by myself, I'm always right. I don't know if you knew that. You probably are too. Like, when I'm in the room by myself, I'm always right. Until I had to get in a room and somebody else shows up and they go, that ain't right. What do you mean? Right? Some of you are married. Do not make a move. Just look at me. Right? You make a move, you're going to get in trouble. I'm just saying, look at me. Right? I mean, Laura Lee is amazing for many reasons. But, like, I'll have stuff together and strategically have thought out the questions that everybody's going to ask. So I'm ready and prepared. And she'll walk in and ask me like two things. I got nothing for her. I'm like, what? Ain't nobody going to ask that. Well, I just did. Right? We need one another. We need these relationships to help us. But we need to connect people deeper to God and understanding how they grow in that relationship. We need to connect them to a group of people. We need so they can have relationships in the body of Christ. And then we need to help connect them to their purpose. To find out how has God wired them. Right? What's their personality? What are their strengths? What is their spiritual gifting? What are their passions? You know, we got to help them find that. And then being in those environments, walking through that process, they'll move into the next stage, which is young adult, and it's there that we need to begin training people to minister. Now, that's scary sometimes because people think, oh, I don't want to be a minister, right? That's not the position. It's training you to minister to other people, to speak and to serve other people. So how do we do that? Well, we got to equip them for ministry. We got to begin working with people. How do we do that? In the groups, through relationship. We can begin to equip them for ministry. But then we got to provide them opportunities. Got to give them a shot. Got to give them a chance, right? And there's all kinds of ways to plug in to have an opportunity to serve people, right? And we're going to be talking about that next week, about this coming year, providing some more opportunities for people to serve, right? Prepare yourself right now, because I don't want too many people to be blown over by this. Did you know that this whole thing is not about you coming and sitting here on Sunday, checking your box, and then everything's good? I know that's going to upset some people, because you thought the totality of your commitment to the body of Christ was showing up here on a Sunday, and as long as you do that, you're golden. This is just a charging station. You should be coming here to plug in, charge your batteries up, so then you can go out and do the stuff you're supposed to be doing, right? And if you're the totality of your involvement in this church, if you call it your church, is this? Wow. Anyway, so when we provide people a chance to fail, right? Because, I mean, nobody gets it right the first time. Nobody gets it right a couple times. People have to walk through opportunities and try something, right? Whether it's teaching Sunday school. Well, you don't even need to do it. We just need helpers to go down and be a part. Right? Greeting at the door. Passing the buckets. Helping in the booth doing the computer and stuff. Right? Even getting on the platform. Now, you will have to audition, because just because you think you can sing and your mom can think you can sing, don't mean nothing, right? You watched American Idol, that happens all the time. Somebody walks in the room, why are you here? Well, my mom said I could sing. She lied to you, brother, right? So some things you got to audition, you know. Yeah, but they got such a great heart. Okay, well, we'll find something else, but... Right? I mean, but there's a lot of different opportunities, a lot of different ways people can serve. And then as you release them to do that ministry, they're going to grow by doing those opportunities. Look, people that have gone on the trip, like going to NACA, doing the NACA trip, stuff like that, that will grow you spiritually. Going and serving somebody else. Getting involved and helping in some capacity. And then it moves on to the next part of the wheel. The parenting piece, and we hope that when somebody gets here, we can release them to become a disciple maker. And that's, you know, them being able to explain this process and being able to explain how do we grow and what are the things that are necessary and being able to recognize it. And then release them to disciple another with our help, right? And then eventually do it on their own. Now, having said all that, there are going to be some people that are going to go, oh, okay, I don't have to do anything until I get to that parent stage, right? Wrong, right? If you got saved yesterday, you can share Christ with somebody today, right? You may be an infant, but an infant can share with a spiritually dead person. A spiritual child can walk with a spiritual infant. A spiritual young adult can help a spiritual child. Right? All it is just being a few steps further down the road, turn around and helping somebody who's coming along behind you. So, well, I don't know. A friend of mine, Navigator Skip Gray, I mean, he says, look, there's somebody out there that knows less about God than you do. Go find them. It's that simple. But these are the stages through which we grow, all of us. That doesn't mean we have to wait till we get to parenthood. Well, I don't know, you know. Pastor Frank didn't send me out with the other dude. Just so you know, we don't do the bike and the shirt with the tie thing. That's not our gig. So, you know, you can do it right now, you know. If you know Jesus, share him with somebody. And then looking at Acts chapter 5, verse 42. continues on talking about these disciples. Not only are they involved in these relational dynamics, you know, where they're sharing meals and prayer and teaching, but it says this in 5:42, and every day, can you imagine this? They went to church every day. Some of you are like, man, I can't believe the service is this long. I mean, an hour and a half. Holy cow. Excuse us. Sorry. Yeah. Jesus didn't know you were so busy. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message. Not long, not real deep, just a bit basic. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. He's the only way. But notice that both of those things, not only going to the temple, but then house to house, the big gathering as well as the small circle of relationships, both are integral parts of the experience, right? I mean, you may not think that, but I'm just telling you, your being present here today, your being present here today means a lot to some other people that are sitting around you. You don't realize it, how encouraging your presence is. I mean, sometimes I'm just telling you, man, people can walk in here and they're going through tough times. They're struggling, and just seeing certain people that have either stepped out and come up to them during the greeting time, made them feel warm and welcome, or someone else who's taken time and listened to them and had a really difficult conversation, seeing that person here is encouraging to you. Somehow it strengthens you. That's part of what the body of Christ, why we gather together. And there's something about worshiping together, right? It's very powerful. Well, continuing on this final scripture, 2 Timothy 2:2 says this. It says, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. This is the discipleship going on. He says, listen, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. You see what's going on here again? It's this reciprocating continues to go on, right? You've heard me. You've listened to me. Things that have been confirmed by reliable witnesses, right? The body of Christ, the Word of God, Scripture. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people so that they can pass them on, right? Now, how do we identify trustworthy people to pour into spiritually, right? I mean, somebody could be sitting here asking that, going, okay, let's see. So I got to go teach these truths to other trustworthy people. I don't trust nobody. Let's see. So how do you begin to identify possibly people that you could do that? And we use a thing in our discipleship training called we look for fat people, right? Don't get upset. Don't get offended, right? Don't look around, right? Maybe you're fat. Maybe you're not. Right? But what we're talking about here is people who are faithful, available, and teachable. Right? If you're going to pour into somebody, and you're going to disciple somebody, this is a great way to look at it, to consider. Is the person faithful? Do they demonstrate a level of commitment to anything? Right? I'm not saying about church necessarily. They may be early in the walk. But do they demonstrate a level of commitment in anything, in their community, in their family? I mean, that's an important piece. Then are they available? Right? Are they available? Do they even have time to get together with you, for you to spend time with them? Right? Some people are so busy because they think they're so important. Right? We're all busy. Everybody's busy, right? But everybody wants everybody to know that your business is kind of special. Yeah. Well, I know you're busy, but, you know, I'm busy. I mean, you just don't understand, right? Everybody's busy. But is the person available? Are they willing to make it a priority? Are they willing to rearrange their schedule because this is important, right? And then are they teachable? That's huge. That may be the most important one. Do they possess humility? Right? Some people can't be taught. I don't know if you knew that. There's some people you just can't teach because they know everything. Right? I don't know if you knew that. It's hard to teach somebody that knows everything. I don't know if you've ever tried that, right? Like you try to teach. I love it. You try to teach. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then, Wow. I feel like I'm wasting my time because everything I've said, that person already knew. Yet there was nothing that was demonstrated that made it obvious they knew any of that. It's just interesting, right? Faithful, available, teachable. So all of this, again, for those of you who are part of Real Life Chapel, been a part of it a while, this is our annual review. I'm going to do this every year. Every year that I'm here, I'm going to review this and put this before you again because it's a core value of ours. Right? Every believer, why am I doing it? Every believer is called to go and make disciples. Right? Every believer is called them to go and make disciples. Well, not called, commanded. That'll make you feel better. Commanded to go and make disciples. To share your faith, right? And all it is really two things, folks. It's the gospel and your testimony. That's it. Share the gospel. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He died and paid the penalty for sin, making an opportunity for you and I to stand in right relationship with God. And your testimony is simply your story of how God has impacted your life, how Jesus is changing you. That's it. It's real simple. Statistics tell us that a typical believer will die without leading a single person to a life-saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't be a part of that statistic.